Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Happy Tuesday to you. June the 12th. This year seems to be flying by pretty fast. Seems like we were just dropping the ball for the new year. And now we're about to be in the midst of the summertime. And I hope that everybody is having a productive week so far. I hope that your last week has been great. And I hope you're doing something every day that inspires you, that allows you to live in your passion and live in your purpose and feel like you want to feel. Day to day can be rough. We have struggles, we have trials, we have things that come about, but we got to focus on, we have to have something greater than just us to focus on. And normally that's your why and why you do what you do and the reason why you get up every day. And you got to get back to that fabric. We got to get back to that part of ourselves that's excited to move about through life. So for me, it's been a challenging week, to say the least. You know, we had a good week and, you know, productive, but of course things happen. Somebody was ran me off the road. Well, not really ran me off the road, but they crashed into me driving 70 miles an hour. They were going much faster. Spun my truck out, put it in the rail. Wasn't injured necessarily. You know, I have a dude who have to go to the chiropractor to get some adjustments and get some things checked out. But for the most part, wasn't necessarily injured, nothing major. So that's always a blessing. And then also just the inconvenience of accidents and what happens when you have an accident. So, you know, now my truck is at the storage place and claims adjusters and rental cars, and it's all, you know, can be an inconvenience, can be a hassle. But when it happened, you know, I felt really down. I felt upset. It's like when you are pushing and pushing and pushing, and then these things come and they knock you down, and it's hard to rebound sometimes, and it takes a little bit longer. And through that process, you know, I said, man, something, I wonder what good is coming out of this. Because there's always, you know, a silver lining somewhere. You may not see it right then, and I still haven't seen it yet, but, you know, you just understand that the way life is set up, a lot of times we think things are happening to us and things are actually happening for us. And so I don't know what it is, and sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's just life having its way, and it's going to have its way with whoever it wants to at whatever time it wants. And it's most of the time it's not what happens to you, but, of course, how you deal with it. So, you know, trying to have a positive mindset, have, you know, my biggest motivator in my corner who's always motivating me and telling me, you know, just keep pushing, it's going to be okay. And so those words are great to hear. And then I have, you know, some good friends, one of my homeboys who's just like, man, it's cool. Like, you all right? You know, of course, my dad, he's motivating me and just telling me, you know, well, you know, situations can always be worse. But in all of that, we have to find what it is that allows us to get back to that feeling of us again, no matter what it is. And so that's where, you know, we're in that place. And coming off of this transformation, you know, I think that if this accident thing was to happen to me, it couldn't have really happened at a better time. Just because, you know, I've been on sort of a high as far as my mindset, my reading, my exercising, you know, doing that 66-day transformation, that health transformation, it really just put me in a different light. So things that ordinarily, you know, would affect me a certain way don't necessarily affect me as bad, but it still affects me. And so, you know, that's one of the big things that, you know, I've been focusing on these last couple of days since it happened, like trying to, you know, stay close to myself and stay close to the most important person that continues to motivate me and push me and just say, you know, it's going to be cool. And having those type of people in your corner, if it's just one, you got you got a million, you know, you got $1 million worth of support. And if you got a lot, then that's great too. But, you know, there are certain people that say things to you a certain way, that talk to you a certain way, and it just allows you to be able to live in that different light and see things as it is. And then you have those people that come through and just drop advice and drop nuggets, and, you know, that helps too. But at the end of the day, just know you're not by yourself. You know, there's been a, and knowing you're not by yourself is kind of a big deal. You know, there's been a lot of suicides and been a lot of things going on in the media with high profile people. And, you know, we have to really realize that money is what we strive for. A lot of people strive for, but it's not the money that we strive for. It's what we're going to do with the money. And, you know, I've had mentors in the past and even now tell me, you know, focus on what it is you want to do, and the money will come. But you have to have that balance. And I talked about it last week, the six steps of perfect health. And you have to have the mental, the physical, the spiritual, the way you eat, the way you sleep, the water you drink. You have to have all of those things in alignment, because and not necessarily in alignment as a 50-50 or 20-20, whatever that percentage or ratio is, because it's always not going to be balanced. Checking back in with yourself. That's the point of staying close to yourself, because then you can say, man, I'm lacking in the spiritual department, or I'm lacking in the mental department. You know, my thoughts, my actions aren't who I normally am. And then you can take time to give yourself that kind of pick-me-up or that kind of update in that particular part. And then the other parts, you have to, you know, you have to monitor them. So though there are six places that we have to always be mindful of, we have to be mindful of them. And I think that a lot of times when you see, especially people committing suicide or people going through depression, not just from a nutritional aspect. We always talk about nutritional aspects and how we eat and the drugs we take, whether prescription or recreational, and how they affect our mood, how they affect our mind, how they affect our actions. We talk about that a lot, but at the end of the day, a lot of times, too, it's the story we tell ourselves. And that story we tell ourselves can be very believable. And we can make that story and fashion that story to be as horrible as we want it to be, or as enlightening as we want it to be. But when we tell ourselves that story, it's something that we start to believe, and then our actions start to surround that. And for those people who, those whole high-profile people who have decided that taking their life was more important than their legacy and more important than the journey they were on, you know, that story, I'm sure that they told themselves day in and day out, it just got worse. And though they had people around them, and though they had people motivating them, I'm sure, and people, you know, and people just assume that you putting out a great product, you got great, you making money, that you're happy. And happiness is different for everybody. And so that's why, you know, it doesn't necessarily, it shouldn't bother anybody to have a conversation. You know, if you, and I'm not putting this in any certain way, but if you have a you work at McDonald's, so to speak, and then you see a lawyer, and you have a conversation with that lawyer, and you talk to that lawyer like a person. Because that lawyer, though you say, okay, I work at McDonald's, and that lawyer is a lawyer, and he makes probably four or five times the amount that I make, you could be as happy as that lawyer working at McDonald's as that lawyer is. He could just be starving and starving for attention. He's always working, or he's in over his head. He got so much money, but he's also got so many more expenses. He's stressed out. He could have medical expenses he's dealing with or medical bills. I mean, it's crazy for a lot of people. So everybody's all the same. You strip the titles away, you strip away the status, you strip away everything, and you get down to the nuts and bolts of people. We're all the same. And so having that conversation with people, no matter if you feel like they're up and coming or if you feel like they've already made it, you have that conversation the same way, because everybody needs to know that somebody genuinely cares. Somebody's genuinely interested in what it is you have going on. That's a big deal. And a lot of people, especially high-profile people, you know, they have to seclude themselves from parts of the world just because of their status. And then the other part is, you know, what they go through. When you have enough money to do every single thing you want to do every day, life becomes a challenge, because you have to really then get back to what makes you happy. What was the fabric of what you love to do? What programs can you put in place? What can you do for your children? What can you do in these different aspects of life that don't encompass spending money and doing money? Because you know, you find that the more money you give away, charities and different things, those are things that help you and make you feel good. And I don't know the status of why those people did what they did, but it's just the point that I'm trying to make is everybody is everybody, and everything is everything, and nobody's above anybody. Nobody's below anybody. So have that conversation. You learn as much from a homeless person, and you get so much more inspiration from a homeless person sometimes than you will get from a rich person, because they're speaking from experience, and you don't know what that level of experience has gotten them to where they are. But you ever talk to a homeless person on an upswing? You ever talk to a homeless person that's got things starting to work for them? They know what rock bottom is, and to watch them climb and to see them climb is an amazing thing. And so you never take advantage of the fact that one person is doing one thing and somebody else is doing another. You really have to take stock in what you're doing, and then also understand everybody's the same. Nobody's above anything. So that's kind of my commentary for today. But one of the topics that I wanted to get into, which is on my which is the title of what we're talking about, is joint health. And I said joint health, but also while working out, I see so many people, and it makes me so excited. And I've seen so many people here of late that are on these healthy body challenges and healthy body transformations, and people losing weight, people working out. I mean, one of my best friends, Mortez Sellers, at Transcend Fitness in Maryland, it's like he got everybody from Annapolis there, you know, working out and, you know, losing weight. My homeboy Corey Black, who's doing big things, you know, from Fat to Fit, he's got a Netflix documentary coming out. So excited to be a part of that. So many people following him. He's putting out meal plans. He's putting out workout plans. I mean, he's doing so many things. And the greatest thing is he's using the example from himself. It's not something that he's just said, okay, here's what you should do. When you see him, you see him. And he's showing you how you go from fat to fit and how you do it the right way. It's just hard work. But you find that type of hardcore journey of transformation, especially if you're working out, especially if you're exercising, your joints, your body takes a beating. You know, whether it be squatting, lifting, lunging, jumping, jogging, you know, you are pounding your body. And though your body's being strengthened and though you're losing weight, your joints, I mean, it takes a toll on your joints. And kind of the one part of the motivation for this is I talked to my chiropractor. And like I said, you have conversations with people no matter who they are. And you would think that a chiropractor, he knows every single thing there is to know about joints and the back and how to move you and how to adjust you. And when I talked to my chiropractor, he used to be really stocky, and then that stockiness turned into kind of a, you know, a little flab, and now he's small, he's been working out, he's lost weight, he looks good. And, you know, he said the other day when I was there, I cannot stop my joints from hurting. He said, I run and I have to run. He said, because he don't feel like swimming burns the calories for him. He doesn't feel like a lot of the different workouts that he would be into would give him the burn of calories and what his outcome is. And like we always say with working out, you have to find what works for you. People can recommend things. People can tell you to do things. And there are certain basic things you should do. But to do that day-to-day workout, that thing that you have to get up and do and try to benefit from, it has to be something you're kind of excited about. You have to have some kind of feeling towards that. But what he told me, he said, man, my joints hurt, my back hurt, my knees hurt. And he was telling me, you know, how I should run. I do run, but he was telling me, you know, the posture I should have, making sure I keep my back straight, because, you know, having the condition that I have with my neck and my back from this accident, you know, it kind of causes my neck to, you know, to go to one side or my back to be one way. And so he said, you know, when you get tired and you feel yourself getting tired, your body will naturally go back to its natural position of comfort. But that's not helpful posture-wise when you're running. And so, you know, he was just telling me those things. And I thought, wow, I said, your joints hurt? He said, yeah. He said, nah, you know, it is what it is. He said, but the running is what helps me stay in shape and all of that. And I said, so you just deal with your joints hurt. Deal with achy joints. And, you know, pretty much he was like, yeah, you know. And so him trying to adjust me may have, you know, hindered his ability to be able to do what he loves, and that's be a chiropractor. And he's not as strong, or he doesn't have the oomph that he has because, why, his joints are bothering him. And so one of the things that I thought about, I said, well, this is one of the things I do know. And I had the experience of, because I had issues with my joints back in my football days. And when I played a lot of football and basketball and different things, I had joint issues. And those joint issues caused me to, you know, quit almost sports. And that was one of the things that, you know, really got me into understanding that your joints are really all you have when it comes to supporting your body and feeling strong. And so, you know, one of the things that I had to do during that time when I partially tore my ACL and sprained my MCL was I had to, of course, do something to rebuild my joints. And then I also had plantar fasciitis. And if you've ever had plantar fasciitis, man, that is the worst. That's the worst, most nagging pain that happens in the bottom of your foot. It runs from just about your heel to the ball of your foot. And right in the middle of that arch is a plantar. It's a little tendon that runs through this little hole like a sheath. And what that does, that will get inflamed, and it'll cause that tendon will get inflamed, and it'll rub inside of that sheath, and it hurts. I mean, you go to stand up in the morning, and you got to sit right back down because your foot is just in pain. And you do things like, you know, rub your foot on a bottle, a frozen bottle, like you get a Pepsi bottle and fill it up and put it in the freezer, and something you can rub your foot on the bottom of, or you wrap it a certain way. And then when I played football, I had to wrap my ankles. And so that pressure from the tape running around the bottom of my foot, oh my God, it was just an ungodly feeling. And so through that process, you know, and finding out about Dr. Wallach, and the ones who really helped me and saved me was the fact that I had to start to work on my joints. And doing that was not so much of physical therapy and all of that. It was more like, what do I need to do to feed my body so that my joints are healthy? And feeding your body, it comes from the actual work of giving what your joints are. You have to give your body what it's missing. And your joints are made up of cartilage, tendons, ligaments, connective tissue, your disc between the vertebrae. All of those things are joints, and those joints must be fed all the time. And in feeding those joints, you'll be able to then do what you have to do so that those you have to do what you have to do so that those joints can be rejuvenated and can feel good. And that's one of the things that I learned in healing the body, is that those joints are extremely important. And so in feeding those joints, that's one of the bigger things that you learn in the workout process, is really how to take care of your joints from a physical standpoint. And that's what I see a lot of going on now with all the people that are working out, they're lifting, they're stretching, they're running, they're losing weight, but they're still having some of these issues with their joints. So it's making it harder for them to be able to do the things that they need to really keep it going. And then the workout's starting to fall off, and then you can't get out to the gym, or you sprain an ankle or you twist a knee. And now, you know, that those 20 pounds that you lost, or those 30 pounds that you lost, or that shape that you got into, you find yourself falling back from that because now your joints are killing you. And then you may take a week off, and then you feel okay, and then you go back and work out, and then your joints start to hurt again, and then you have to stop, and then it becomes inconsistent. And you become, you know, a little skittish. You're like, man, I can't really work out like I want to because my joints are going to be killing me. And so that's one of the reasons why we have to maintain good, healthy joints. One of the big things of that is nutrification. We have to nutrify our body, whether you like it or not. We can't just get all the nutrients and vitamins and minerals that we need from food. And so, therefore, you're going to have to supplement, high-quality supplements. Don't just run to the store and grab some joint heal or some joint health or whatever. You have to really understand what you're getting. And you don't want to just get one thing. You want to make sure that you're getting a protocol of things that you need such that your joints will work as you need them to work, and they'll have the ability to recover. Because when you don't do that, that's what causes the breakdown. And so it's a protocol. Just like you bake a cake, you don't just have one or two ingredients. You have all the ingredients that you need to bake a cake. It's the same thing with your joints. So you need the calcium and the magnesium and the strontium and the vitamin D3 for the bones. You also need the glucogel, which helps with putting and rebuilding and regenerating the cartilage. Your body will do it itself. You just have to give it the raw materials. So you have to know what cartilage is made of. You have to know what your connective tissue is made of. You have to know what bone is made of. And that's one of the great things about the platform that we have within longevity. And Dr. Wallach is just the fact that he knows what those things are made of. And so within the product line, you're getting exactly what that part of the body needs. So each product is its own protocol, really. And so if you get calcium, you're not going to just get a bottle of calcium. You're going to get the calcium, the magnesium, the vitamin D3, the glucosamine, the strontium. You're going to get all of that in one bottle. When you get the glucogel, you're going to get everything you need in that one bottle that's going to give your joints, your connective tissue, what it needs. You know, people say, oh, my knees are bad, or I have bone on bone, I have no cartilage. And a lot of times the medical system will tell us that that's not something that can be regenerated or regrown. And that's true from their aspect because they don't know how to do it. They don't have the raw materials to give you. There's no prescription drug that'll do that for you. There's no physical therapy that'll do that for you. They've created some type of shot that they can give you. It used to be cortisone shots and those type of things, and they still give those for pain and relief, but they've made some Flexol stuff that they can shoot in your joints, and it's like a fluid, and it's supposed to give your joints the cushion and the fluid that it needs, but that's not what rebuilds the joint. That's not what the joint is made of. And so when we talk about what the joint is made of, we have the raw materials to give you so that you can keep those joints healthy. So the nutrification of your joints, taking the proper nutrients, not just taking something, but taking the proper nutrients. And that's what we're here for, to make sure that you get the proper nutrients for those joints. And once you do that, then those joints will start to respond in kind. The other thing is how much water we drink. If you are working out and you're sweating, you're losing nutrition because sweat is just the soup that comes from your bloodstream. Most of us think sweat is just toxin, but sweat is the soup that flows out of your bloodstream. It's the vitamins, it's the minerals, it's the selenium, it's the strontium, it's the vitamin D3, it's the calcium. It's all of those things that's made up in your bloodstream that you lose when you sweat. So we have to be able to put that back. And so if you're working out sweat and you're drinking water, which is great, and you should drink, like I said, enough water in ounces to fulfill your body weight. So whatever your body weight is, if you drink half of that in ounces, that will give you a daily recommended amount of water. Now, if you're working out and things like that, of course, you need to drink more. But if you're a 200-pound person, you definitely got to have at least 100 ounces of water a day. And if you're working out, you probably need more than that. But doing sweating and drinking water without nutrification is suicide. You will kill yourself, flat out. And that was one of the things that I learned the hard way, because for those who know me and knew me growing up, I sweat all the time. I sweat so much. And then I would just drink water. I was a water drinker. Most people know me know I drink water. I could drink gallons of water. And that was okay. But when my body started to break down and things started not working right, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I'm exercising. I'm drinking my water. I have some Gatorade every now and again. But I didn't realize that I was missing the nutritional piece. And you got to have that nutritional piece. You got to have that supplementation regimen in place to feed those joints. Because what happens when you drink water, you sweat, you lose your nutrition. You drink water, you lose nutrition because you're diluting the soup that's in your bloodstream. And if you're not putting any nutrition back, you're slowly just dying, because you're not feeding the body. And so through this process, when you learn how important your joints are, when you learn how important the nutrification of your joints are, and you start to do it, you won't go backwards. And so that's when you have to really understand that nutrification is important, and then also the amount of water we drink, because of the fluid. Our body's 70% liquid, 30% solid. So we have to have the fluid in our body. We have to have the liquid in our body. You want enough fluid around those joints. You want, and I'm not saying fluid that they talk about draining fluid off your joints. I'm talking about the fluid within the joint, not around the joint, and which helps with the elasticity, which helps with stretching. When you stretch, if you stretch a dry rubber band, if you ever seen a rubber band and it's really dry, it's just been sitting in the sun or sitting somewhere, and you go to stretch it, it just pops. But if you got a brand new rubber band and you start to pull it, stretch it, it goes back and forth. Why? And there's a certain amount of lubrication within that rubber band, what they put on it, what they put in it. Same thing with our hamstrings, same thing with our Achilles tendon, same thing with our bicep muscles, any joints, any muscles. We have to make sure that we have the water in those joints, the ligaments, the connective tissue, even the disc between your vertebrae. The more cushiony they are, the easier it is for them to stretch and expand. The more dry they are, they just get to a certain place and they start to deteriorate. And that's not what we want. And so that nutrification and that and the water, putting good clean water in your body, is extremely important. So that those joints, those rubber bands, those ligaments, those tendons, those things have what they need to stretch out. One of the things you find with like athletes, you know, sometimes in football and even in basketball, but you see these non-contact injuries. You know, they just go to start running up and down the court, and they're just their leg breaks. Just breaks. You saw it happen to a kid in college. You saw it happen to Paul George. Nothing that they had done a billion times in playing basketball, but the fact is they're slowly losing nutrients. They're slowly losing nutrients, and one day that bone just breaks. It just can't do it anymore. And it's a nasty injury. Or you see somebody snap their Achilles tendon. Or you see somebody pull their hamstring. Arian Foster, one of the great running backs, used to play for the Texans. Cool guy, man, real nice guy. And, you know, his career got cut short because of a hamstring injury. That's a big, bad injury. It's such a big tendon, it's such a big ligament, it's such a big muscle back there in your hamstrings. But they have to be lubricated. They have to be fed. You have to be getting the proper nutrition. You have to be absorbing that nutrition. And so that's why water is extremely important. And you can't just go and just continue to drink, you know, Deer Park and all of these bottled waters that are not good for you. You have to drink good, clean, filtered water. And if you're going to drink bottled water, you need to pay for good bottled water. You know, it's not about, oh, I'm getting water. No, because all water is not created equal. You know, just like people will say, oh, I take calcium, but it doesn't help. So then I say, well, I have calcium. Oh, well, you know, I've taken calcium and it doesn't help. Well, all calcium isn't created equal. You know, most things aren't created equal, even with water. You know, if you get water, if I tell you I can get you good, clean, mineralized water, or good, clean water, or I can give you some tap water from the Pepsi plant, which one would you rather have? You'd rather have the good, clean, filtered water, not water from a Pepsi plant. So we know the difference. We just don't do different. And even if we don't know the difference and we think we're just getting water and we're drinking water, we really have to evaluate that. And I tell people all the time, especially with it being summertime and me being a lifeguard for so long growing up, I understood what water was and how clean water should be and what's in water because we had to test it every day at the swimming pool, a couple times every hour. And so if you're drinking a particular bottled water, go by places like Whole Foods and see if they test the water for you in your bottled water. Or go by a swimming pool. Most pools are open now. Go take a bottle of your water there. And just ask the lifeguard, especially if there's a pool you go to, and say, can you test this water? And they'll show you how much chlorine is in that water. They'll show you how much total dissolved solids are in that water. And when you understand it from that aspect, you'll say, man, I didn't realize I was drinking water. I didn't realize water could be so bad. And so that's really a big deal. If you have a good filter on your refrigerator, or you got one of these filters where you fill it from your tap and you got a filter. But we got to drink good, clean water. Your joints love good, clean water. Your body loves good, clean water. So let's just stop saying, let me go get the cheapest bottle, packs of bottled water because they're on sale, or let me just fill up the water out of the tap and we'll just drink it, put it in the refrigerator. If you ever see a dog, if you ever fill up water in a container and you put it in front, especially out of the tap, and you put it in front of the dog, he'll sniff it and he'll walk away from it. And it may be a little while before he comes back to it. Because dogs understand that when they sniff that water, they can smell the chlorine, they can smell the chemicals, coming out of that water, if it's bottled water or tap water. And you're like, man, this dog is so thirsty, he's not even drinking the water. And then he'll come back later and he'll drink it after the stuff dissipates in the air and dissipates out of the water. Then he'll drink it. But and if you ever put and if you ever have a what you call clean water, if you set if you took a bowl of water outside and you set it next to a water puddle and you gave it to that dog and it was tap water, he'd sniff that water and he'd drink the water out of the water puddle. He'd drink the water out of the ocean. He'd drink the water anywhere first. Why would you think that? Because they understand that there are vitamins, there's minerals, there's things in that water that are in puddles, you know. And that's kind of how they're used to operating in their natural habitat. Nobody's bringing them water. So you have to realize that the water that they're drinking is much cleaner, and it doesn't seem to be from where they're drinking it, but the benefit that they're getting from the water, they know the benefit that they're getting from the water. And so if you ever see that, so we just pop a bottle of water open, we just start drinking it. Most of the time we don't know what we're getting, especially if it's one of these low brand or low cost water bottles of water. You know, and I encourage people, they make filters for water bottles now. We definitely have them. And so you can get a water bottle filter, and then that way, wherever you are, you can fill up your water bottle, and that water will be filtered. You have good, clean, filtered water to drink, especially if you're working out. I mean, we should have clean water all the time, but this is kind of around working out and being healthy and just feeding the joints and doing all of those things. And so you want to make sure you're getting good, clean water. I can't stress that enough. You want to make sure that you're getting the nutrients that the body needs. And if you have any questions with that, you can always reach out to me. Hey, what do I need for my joints? Because I hate to see these people that are doing so good working out. They're making strides. They're losing weight. And all of a sudden, something happens. They tear something. They pull something. Their joints hurt, so they can't physically work out. And most of the time, your trainer will tell you, push through it. And yes, most of the time, it does get better because it's just joints and things or muscles that your body hasn't used for a long time. But a lot of times, your joints can just become ravaged and stressed. The other thing that we need for our joints, of course, is proper rest, you know, resting and how to rest. And this is one of the things that I also learned from chiropractic is when you lay down at night, you should put a pillow under your knees. Now, most people say, well, I don't sleep on my back, or I sleep on my stomach, or I can't sleep like that. And it's not about what you can do or what you can't do. It's about doing what's right. And when you put that pillow under the back of your knees, it takes the pressure off of your back. Pressure off of your back, you can actually feel the pressure leave. And it's almost immediate. And so you just lay there for as long as you can. You do a little bit every night. If you can only lay there 5 minutes, lay there 5 minutes. But if you do it every night before you go to bed or on your way to bed, at some point in time, you'll find that your body is more apt to want to sleep like that because that's the good posture. When you lay on your side, you should have a pillow between your knees. That takes the stress off of your hips. That takes the stress off of your back. And that also will help keep things in line. And so, you know, a lot of times people, when they go to sleep, you know, they feel okay when they get done and they stretch and all of that, and then they go to sleep. And because of their sleeping posture, they wake up and feel like somebody put them through the ringer. And a lot of times that's just because of the posture that we use when we're sleeping. We sleep all kinds of ways. You sleep on your stomach. You sleep on your back. You got one leg up. You got one leg down. And if you ever watch a baby sleep, and minus them, you know, how when they're first born they sleep with their knees under them, that takes the pressure off of their back. Most of the time, we're not going to sleep like that. But it's the same concept when you lay on your back. If you roll that over, if you roll that baby over and lay them on their back, you'll see that their knees are still up to their chest. Part of that is how they're formed in the womb, but also that they're formed in the womb that way because that's the way the spine works. That's the way the back works. So that's just the creative genius of the Creator and how He creates life. There's no substitute for that. But when you see a child and you if you took that baby and laid them on their back, their knees are up. You always got to keep your knees higher than your hips. That takes pressure off of your back. When you see a baby sleep on their side, it's almost like that fetal position. And when you look at our spines and how our knees should be pulled up to our chest, that's the way we should sleep. And not to that great extent, because as you get older and bigger, you can't flex like that. But you'd be surprised how much pressure that takes off the body while you're sleeping and the quality of sleep that you get. Also, the proper nutrients and the proper drinking of water helps with that sleep. You get a sound sleep because your body's now in a rejuvenating mode. It's not in a fighting mode. It's not in a stress mode because of the posture or the position that you happen to be in. So that's extremely important. is the rest that we get, but the posture when we're walking. I'm sorry, when we're sitting. You know, you want to sit with your knees higher than your hips. And, you know, even going to the bathroom, there's a big thing about how you go to the bathroom, do number two. And if you ever, you know, go to the bathroom and you have issues going to the bathroom and you feel like it's coming, but you can't really, it's not coming, think like a stool and put your feet up on. And when you put your feet up on that stool and you go to the bathroom doing number two, it's like, it's 10 times different. It's like it aligns your body just right is what it appears to feel like it's doing. But it's about posture. It's about how your body is lined up. And so when you go sit down on the toilet, you put a stool under your feet, like a step stool, and you'll find out it's a big difference. It's a huge difference. When they talk about women having children, most of the time in the American medicine, they lay you down on your back, which, again, is fighting gravity, and then they push your knees up. Why do they push your knees up? Because that takes the pressure off of your back, but that also opens up the birth canal. But when you go to like a midwife or you go to how you used to have children, you have them in a bathtub or you have them at home, you squat down to have them. You're doing the exact same thing that you would be doing laying down, except you got gravity working for you and the posture that you have, you can keep your back straight and all of those things. So it's a reason for everything. And when you start to look at those reasons from different angles and put them together, you understand that it's really all the same meaning. It's all the same thing. It's just that we look at them different because they're in different categories. But making sure that you keep that posture right when you're sleeping will help you get a much better, much, much better sleep. Also, stretching. And when we talk about stretching, we also talk about not just stretching to start to work out, but stretching to end the workout. And even if you're not working out, you should stretch. You should always be stretching your hamstrings because your hamstrings help loosen up your lower back. People's lower backs, you stand up all day, you walk all day, or you squat, or you lunging, and you start to get this low back pain. And that's because you just stretched your hamstrings completely out during the exercise, but you never took the time to stretch them out and allow them to find their place. And when you go to bed and you wake up, you're stiff, you're sore, your back hurts. And then as soon as you put your leg up and stretch your hamstrings, never bend over necessarily, put your leg up on something and bend to stretch your hamstring, not to bend over and touch your toes type thing, or sit down on the floor and spread your legs. You don't want to ever bend your back more than about half to three quarters of the way. When you do that, you start to cause issues with your lower back, in a sense, especially if you're standing up because you're hanging so much weight. And if you're laying down, that's a different story. But making sure that you're stretching your joints, your hamstrings, and even just the point of sometimes just taking your fingers and turning them this way, because turning them the opposite way, it just allows them to stretch out. You'll feel it in your forearm. Why? You got ligaments, you got muscles there that run up and down your arm. The same thing you do with your feet. You put your foot up on a curb or something, just the ball of your foot, and you leave your heel on the ground. You'll find it that stretches your calf, that stretches your Achilles tendon, which is your huge tendon. You know, you do different knee exercises where you kind of roll your knees around. You roll your ankles around. You want to keep those joints lubricated. You want to keep them stretched out. And that's the exercises for our joints. And the stretching is really what I call exercise for your joints. That's as important as the exercise in itself, because you want to keep your muscles long and lean. And that comes from stretching. That's why yoga and stuff is so big right now, and hot yoga, because your body can get in places where it can stretch out and feel really good and keep the joints healthy. And so that stretching is extremely important. And so when we talk about joint health, we talk about nutrifying the body, making sure we're getting the nutrients that not just so we say we're taking nutrients, but specific nutrients that target joints, that target the ligaments and all of those particular things. We need to make sure we have that incorporated in our diet. We got to make sure that we are getting the water that we need. We got to make sure that we're getting the rest that we need so that those things can rejuvenate. We also have to make sure that our posture is good. And then the last thing is we have to make sure that the food we eat, that when we finally get to food, that we're not eating foods that are drying our body out. We have to eat live food, and that's fruits and vegetables. and some lean meats cooked the right way, but we have to do the things that cause our body to rejuvenate and continue to work. When you eat things that aren't healthy for you and that are really acidic, it dries you out. You can tell by your stool. When you go to the bathroom, when you have bowel movements, and if you just ate like crap, it reflects. Like, it's hard to go. It's just like, it just feels so weird. But then you drink some detox tea, or you have a salad, or you eat some grapefruit, and you're like, man, it's just a total difference from eating live food, raw food, food closest to its natural state as possible. And so staying away from the processed foods and staying away from a lot of the things that cause our body to become in an acidic state. You know, we tend to say, oh, I can pretty much eat anything I want because I'm going to go work out. I'm going to go work it off. And so you'll think, oh, I can eat that Snickers bar, or I can eat that McDonald's before I go work out, or after I work out because I'm going to go work it off the next day or whatever. And really, you just taking chemicals and you're taking a lot of toxins and you're putting them back into your body, which then is still affecting your joints. So we have to be mindful of the food, real live food. You know, your eggs is extremely good. You know, your lean meat can be good. Your fish can be good. You're getting your omegas, which your joints need. You're getting protein. We do a lot of protein shakes and different shakes, whey protein. And a lot of times, depending on the person, it can be kind of harsh. You know, they give you gas, they make you feel bloated. And so that means you need to either check the one that you're taking or you need to dilute it some more. But you want to make sure that you're getting that in so that you're keeping up with the protein that your body needs and feeding the body the proper way so that when you do work out, the body has the fuel to burn and not trash to burn. You burn trash, it stinks. You burn trash, it's crazy. But when you burn real live food, when you burn real live nutrients, your body appreciates that because it can better process it. And in that fashion is when you lose the weight. In that fashion is when you build muscle. And just again, you know, working on this healthy body transformation, I've learned so much from so many people, and I'm so grateful of the knowledge and the studying, but having the experience for myself and seeing the transformation in my own body and then getting to a point now where it's a habit. So it's not anything that's going to change. And really, you know, now from an exercise and a workout aspect, you know, I'm back on it, you know, like I used to be when I played football. And, you know, but now the great part about it is I'm much smarter because I understand how to nutrify the body. I understand what I need to do to take care of my body, making sure I take my digestive enzymes, making sure I take my protein, making sure that I'm taking my nutrients, my vitamins, all 90 essential nutrients. I take about 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 to 3 essential fatty acids every day. And I take that with a digestive enzyme, because that digestive enzyme is going to give me everything that I need to help me absorb those things. So I'm getting more out of them. I'm getting I'm getting a full effect of them. And then also my turmeric and things like that. That's my antibiotic type thing. That's one of the strongest antibiotics you can take, most effective. We run to the doctor and we get them normally, but to when you're on a preventive phase, you can take that. Detox tea, drinking my detox tea, keeping my liver strong, keeping it clean, you know, keeping your colon clean. So there's a lot of things when you get into this temple, but once you start to manage it and you start to pay attention to it, kind of how we manage our cars, we make sure we wash our cars, we make sure we tune them up, or if you have a house, you make sure you keep the maintenance up on your house. It's the same thing for our bodies. And the thing about it is our bodies will repay us much longer. That investment in our body will last much longer than any of those things. We'll have several cars in our lifetime. We may have a couple of houses in our lifetime. We may move to a couple of different apartments or whatever it might be in our lifetime. But that same body, that same heart that gets up and beats every day, that same brain, we don't trade that out every day. That liver, those kidneys, we don't trade those out. You know, there's no AutoZone where we just keep going buying new livers and new hearts and new kidneys and hope that they work the same. And there are people in that predicament. And so, you know, for whatever reason, we always hope that they get what they need and they can live a full, healthy life. But what I'm saying is, I think you understand, it's not something that, happens every single day, and it's not something that any of us just can go randomly do. Oh, I'm sick of this knee. I'm just going to go get another one. And it be like yours, not a prosthetic, not a knee replacement, but yours. And we can take care of ours. We can rebuild ours. We can regenerate ours. We just have to give our body the raw materials that it needs. And the joints are that, and they're extremely important when it comes to that. So, again, I hope that this was helpful. I hope that you got something out of it. You know, if there's any question, you can always inbox me or you can leave a comment. I'd be more than glad to answer. If you need to call me, you can call me at 919-599-0916. And we can talk about the joints. We can talk about the things that you need so that you can continue to work out at a high level, continue to do the things that you need to do such that you can get it done. So with that being said, I appreciate everyone. I would like for you to share this video. You never know who you may be able to help. You never know what you could say or do today that could help millions of people tomorrow. One of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. My mentor says that all the time. But it's just something that we have to be mindful of. And even if we're not working out, these things are relevant. Keeping tasks, keeping a hand on your joints, keeping a hand on the body is always relevant. So even if you're not working out, even if you're not doing those things that require where you feel like it requires doing this much, it does require doing this much, because you'll see that people get older in life and they need these hip replacements and knee replacements. And had we just took a little bit more investment in when we were younger, we wouldn't be in that position. Now, things happen, car accidents and all of that, but just saying that from a regular health standpoint, health aspect, we can prevent a lot of those things just by being a little bit more mindful and a little bit more educated. And that's what I hope to bring. And, again, continue to have a conversation with myself every week that I hope somebody else gets something out of. So with that being said, we will be back here next Tuesday. I appreciate the time. I appreciate those who dropped in. And I would also appreciate if you share the information, and, you know, because that's what it's all about. And when you have something great, you share it. When you go see a movie, when you go see a video, or you go to a certain restaurant, you tell so many people about it. Same thing about this information. We got to continue to keep us healthy. We got to continue to keep our loved ones here and keep them strong. So I look forward to being here next week. I thank you all for joining me tonight. You have a good night, and I love you guys.